Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Maybe I'll send a drunk text to Quebec City. You up? Or should I say, qu'est-ce que c'est?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
The only guy who got out of Philly quicker than the Fresh Prince
is Brian Colangelo.
Brian Colangelo, who resigned today, and I would think he's wheels up. He's out of there. He's either back to Toronto, sure. Phoenix, maybe the Bahamas or something like that, but you can't stick around in Philly. There's no way.
I think when guys do something stupid, like, when I was married, I knew to just go to the couch in the basement, and that was my home for a week. I wonder if she wheels down to the basement and just stays down there for a week like a dude.
I don't think so. I've never witnessed that before. Like, I've never been in a position where my wife or a girlfriend or something like that basically lost me a job because she created Twitter burner accounts and was tweeting out state secrets. This is unprecedented.
This is 2018.
Stuff.
This is what a problem is in 2018.
Right, but I've been in positions.
They both put themselves in positions where they can't even go out in public, no matter what city.
It's embarrassing.
It is.
It's really embarrassing.
That cost yourselves a high executive position in pro sports because of burner Twitter accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah, his face is everywhere. Like, Brian Colangelo's face is everywhere. That said, I couldn't pick his wife out of a crowd.
No.
So her life, I don't know how much her life is going to change in terms of the public eye. Her private life is in for a rude awakening, I would think.
But all I could think of when Durant sunk that massive three last night, I was like, that guy had burner accounts.
He did.
That's all I thought about it.
Yeah, he did.
And he recovered. Basketball in the history of the game had burner accounts because he was sensitive to comments. That's crazy.
It really is.
I thought of that last night when he drained that three.
It's a good point. He was the original burner account guy in the NBA.
But he recovered. Every time somebody chirps me when I carve something or on Twitter, and all I get back is, oh, we had to watch you play for the Leafs and your back checking was the same. Guess who I think's burner account that is?
John Ferguson Jr.
Mm-hmm. Every chirp I get, I sniff it out, and I'm like, that's the Fergler.
I will say that this story has completely changed my approach to Twitter. Like, it's warped my mentality to the point where now if I do read something about somebody else or whatever, I'm like, that might be a burner account. Like, that could be an interesting burner account. You know, like, in your own bubble, it could apply anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, there could be TSN burner accounts.
For sure.
Well, there could be people in this industry doing that.
Come by the most burner accounts of all, Bobby Mack. He probably will go on Insider Trading, come up with a report, and he must get tweets saying, that's probably not true, blah, 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 from an agent, whatever. He probably gets burner account messages more than anybody.
Yeah.
My buddy from back home told me he had a burner account, and he said, you blocked me. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, I showed it to me. And he started it and would be like, hey, Noodles, you're great or something. And apparently, like, I wrote back once, hope you're well or something. It was a direct message. I interact with a lot of people through direct message. And he said, I thought it would be fun to kind of chirp you. And he said, he immediately blocked me.
Good man.
That's what I do. One negative comment, block. I don't even know you.
Burner
accounts. It's part of our job, but yeah, the burner accounts, it just seems like it's too much work.
Well, and this opens up a discussion league-wide in the NBA, but every league will be having this. I mean, every owner is sending emails or having in-person conversations with their executives and their coaches saying, okay, what did we learn from this situation? Couple things to take out of this.
Right.
Next time you want to vent to your wife or anybody in your inner circle about a player missing a meeting or failing a physical, how about you don't do that?
Exactly.
How about you don't do that anymore? Like, that's what's going to change here, is you're going to have the interaction of GMs and coaches and players and what they're willing to tell their spouses and their family members and their friends, because, again, Colangelo's wife was not doing this from a place of malice.
No, she wasn't being
She wasn't
greedy.
Carving him.
She loves her husband and wanted to support him and hated the negative talk.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It really is. So, I don't know what's going to happen between
these two. I don't
think
he's leaving him. Like, I don't think he's leaving her. Like,
Yeah.
It is from, like you just said, it's from a place of trying to defend her husband, but she did sue him because I think he probably walked into the house at times and wanted to share with her, and she was a sounding board for him. He had no idea that every marriage is like
that. That's the foundation of every relationship. Every relationship. You go home, you talk to your wife, your husband, whatever, girlfriend, boyfriend, and you talk about things openly that, of course, you're not going to talk about publicly.
Right.
The only way I could see this being a problem for their matrimony is if he got wind of this a couple of years ago that she was posting stuff on blogs or whatever. Right. And he said, cut it out. That's enough. You know what I mean? Like, didn't know the Twitter stuff, but was like, I know you were doing this when we're... Because maybe she was doing it in Toronto.
Right.
Maybe in Phoenix. You know what I mean? Like, maybe... Who knows what she was doing this whole time? Assuming it was her, even though she said, you know, it was. But some people are thinking maybe she's falling on the sword for him so he can get back into the game. Who knows?
Right.
But let's say he caught wind that she was up to something a couple of years ago and said, cut it out. You know, if you get caught, we're in big trouble. And then she got caught. Right. Then he might be like, sorry, I'm out of here. But I don't want to see that happen. I mean, I don't want to see a family fall apart because of this. Who would? I mean, you got to be so conniving and just cynical to wish that upon anybody. But it's a crazy story.
I agree. It's crazy.
Steve Phillips coming up here in a minute. I was just over in the cafeteria. Big buffet spread for everyone working on the election tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So don't go over there if you want to be enticed into potentially reaching for...
As far as I'm concerned, we're welcome to that. We're at CTV.
I don't think we are. Not according to the sign or security. In the break, go mosey on over there and see if you can put a plate
together.
Okay, the
next time I do an event and people are sniffing around, I'm going to hire a bouncer to check credentials.
Hire a bouncer?
Yeah, I am. Get your buddy from Vegas to go down there and say, what are you doing here?
My buddy from Vegas.
You're from...
Fly him in, my 7'6" friend.
You got to show credentials next time.
I don't know what the credentials
would
be.
Should I go try to get a little feed?
Don't do it right now. Do it in the break and see what happens. I saw some pretty heavy security over there, though. Like, basically, unless your name's Lisa LaFlamme, you better not touch that spread. But it is election day and night here in Ontario.
I
often wonder, like, if athletes vote. Like, I'm not talking in general. I'm talking, like, when you were playing in St. Louis and there was an election, would you even think about voting?
Well, would I have the right?
If you own property in St. Louis.
And, okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Like, if you had the ability to do it.
It's not generalizing all athletes, but I think the majority, and this is just my point of view because it's the kind of way I was. I'm like, I make a good living. I'm just going to keep living my life, and what the hell am I going to vote for?
Some guys aren't that politically engaged, or, you know, like, it's just, I don't think, especially when you are a transient in a city that you may not know all of the issues as far as, like, when I lived in St. Louis is a prime example. Like, I was there for 4 years. I'm sure I had a pretty good pulse of what was going on, but there's a lot of things behind the scenes. Like, our buddy Kelly Chase would probably...
He's voting. Kelly's voting.
I probably would have voted for him as mayor.
Yeah.
But, I think there are some...
But being informed is not a requisite. I mean, there's a lot of people that step into the ballot box and don't have a clue what's going on or what the platforms are.
I guarantee you there are people that are doing that today.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN baseball insider, Steve Phillips. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, man. Any burner Twitter accounts you want to tell us about or what?
No. I've disposed of all of those, at least none that I'm willing to talk about. But, just unbelievable, right? I mean, it is some kind of story. And for baseball general managers, they've talked a lot about it, too. And if any of them had them, they've done away with them. I can tell you that.
I'd have to imagine that this is happening throughout pro sports. Every owner's calling their GM, the coaches, and...
Well, Steve, we were talking about, and this is just, I mean, I think both you and I have been divorced, but do you think if Brian Colangelo, if he wanted to pursue any type of gig in the future, he would have to get divorced?
Well, no, I don't think so. I will tell you that having been in the game and been fired, and having had, you know, seen other people that I've worked with that have been fired, the spouses take it really hard, and they don't deal with the criticism well. And so, you know, the idea that spouses would be involved in protecting their husbands or putting out information to try to protect them in some ways. Now, if they're in a fight with them and they want to take it down, they can do that too. But it's tough on families being an executive in sports, and you never know what the reaction is going to be and which direction people are going to go with it. And so, you know, I've got a certain level of empathy for, you know, the suffering that takes place there, because it is really hard. It's hard on kids. It's hard on husbands and wives or spouses or executives on teams, because nobody likes to hear the criticism. Nobody likes to hear where people are taking opinions about things. They don't know the whole story, and you want them to know the whole story. So I've got some level of empathy for how tough it is. And so I don't know. I think that most teams, most executives wouldn't ever want it to happen again. But I think they'd have a level of understanding as to you know, how tough it can be.
Well, I would assume it would be tough to be related to Mark Shapiro or Ross Atkins in Toronto right now, because there is a fan base that is really, really unhappy with what's going on with this team. And a lot of things have broken their way, or broken against them, I should say, that are out of their control. You know, Stroman and Osuna and Donaldson on the DL, but this team is 14-30 in their last 44 games. They are absolutely awful. And I'm curious to find out how the sales pitch is going to work going forward here, Steve, because whether or not they want to believe it or not, they're in the midst of a rebuild. Like, this team is abysmal and they're old. So how do you think Shapiro can sell this? Can he go to the fan base now and be like, starting today, it's a full blow-up rebuild? Like, is that possible?
I don't think that, I mean, it's possible. I don't think that it's likely. You know, talking to Mark back in spring training, I asked him that question, that if things don't go right, there's a number of different scenarios the way this season could unfold. If it unfolds that you're not a playoff team and that you're going to trade Donaldson and then you're going to trade Happ and Estrada, like guys in last year's deals, how deep does it go? Would it include Stroman and Sanchez and Osuna and guys who, you know, are still young, there's still some level of control. And he said, no, we look at those guys, the younger guys, the young pitchers, as being part of continuing to try to compete. And so, you know, it's not common for teams to think that they can compete and rebuild at the same time. Typically, you need an extraordinary payroll to do that, because you're going to have to spend beyond your mistakes. You're going to have to spend beyond the bad contracts and everything else. So, but, you know, they've said on the record that you know, it would not include those young pitchers. Problem is, if those young pitchers aren't still legitimate major league pitchers that can be front of the rotation guys, then they're not really going to be able to compete anyways. And so, I mean, can you imagine, though, like if I were wanting to tweet out to protect Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro right now, as you mentioned that earlier, it strikes me, you know, you'd be tweeting out, well, you know, Tulowitzki wasn't Shapiro and Atkins. Russell Martin wasn't their signing. That's $40 million in payroll that shouldn't be attributed and held against those two guys. And if that wasn't on the books, how different could this team be? They could spend $40 million more on players that were younger, more athletic, healthier, more productive. And could they be competitive if they had that $40 million back? And they could go in another direction. So there's a lot of, you know, and they could, yes, you could say, well, we, you know, it's not our fault that Edwin and Encarnacion and turned down more money from us and he ended up settling later from somebody else. You could see somebody defending those guys and have some story, but when you take over, you know, and this is why, remember there were reports when Mark Shapiro took over that he scolded Alex Anthopoulos for trading away the farm system, right? There was that report that he scolded him.
Yep.
And you know, Mark said, well, I didn't scold him. But I will tell you that he didn't love that they traded away the prospects, because he was coming into an organization where they just traded away the prospects to go for it with older players who he knew now he was going to have to deal with the after effect of the older player and not having prospects. And so, you know, look, they're in a position that's not all of their doing and their making. But they're going to be held responsible for it and have to try to fix it.
Well, and there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, I understand where Shapiro would be coming from when he starts his clock. That's when he's concerned about what's going on with the Blue Jays. But that report coming out that he scolded or whichever, however you want to describe it, wasn't happy with Anthopoulos and all those moves, was a horrible start for him and the fan base, even though it's not his fault and it's understandable, but totally disconnected from the history of this team. Because for the fans, it was totally worth it because they hadn't been in a playoff spot in 20 years. So when people heard that this guy was disappointed that he wasn't going to be able to be in a great spot two, 3 years down the road, people are like, forget you. I'm in the ALCS, or my team is, for the first time in 20 years. And another thing, in terms of what you just said, and I don't disagree with you in terms of the whole, you know, using the burner Twitter account stuff, the idea that you could look to the past and say, wait a minute, Anthopoulos left them a couple of anchors here. But that's kind of the move you hear out of politicians. Any of the bad stuff, well, it was the previous administration. The problem is the counter to that or the follow-up tweet could be, okay, I'll grant you that. I'll grant you Tulowitzki and Martin and Donaldson's gotten older. But taking that aside, what have you done to improve the team? And really, there isn't much. I mean, that's the problem, Steve, is you look at it and, you know, Grichuk's been a disaster. Pierce is hurt all the time. Morales is a disaster. Garcia's got like a 6-plus ERA. What outside of Solarte, who's been pretty good, Granderson's been okay. What have they brought in where you're like, that was just a great move? That's the problem. Yeah. They don't have a lot there to sell once you move past what Anthopoulos did.
Right, and that's why the rebuilding of tearing it all the way down to the ground and building it back up works better, because where they are now is they're working around the problems. And so their explanation for that will be, we can't think big because we've got $40 million tied up in Tulo and Russell Martin, so we're limited. We can't really play in that big game, in that big arena with some of those other players, those more impactful younger free agents. We can't do it at all. Those guys that you think maybe, boy, it'd be great if you could trade for somebody a little bit better. Well, we don't really have the farm system to do that right now. If we did, like, we could trade Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, and go get those guys, but then we're not going to have those young players to play with the guys that we're trading to bring in. And so, you know, they have an explanation for it. And it's the nature of the beast of being an executive of a team. You understand, it's not always fair the way you're graded. It's not always fair the way that people interpret what you've done, and you can look at it and say, wait, your opinion about that's not right because you're blaming me for this, but it's because of that. You're blaming me for not improving the team more. But remember, I've got $40 million in payroll that I've got to spend it. It's already spent. I don't have any money to go get the more impactful players. So you're right. You're right, 100% right, but so would Atkins and Shapiro be in explaining why they haven't gone down the road to do some of those bigger things.
Steve, if you're looking at the Blue Jays right now and you are Shapiro and you're trying in your mind to make some decisions moving forward, and let's say it's Donaldson and you're going to look to move him, how does that process start? I mean, do you identify a couple teams that would have some interest and then you just reach out through a call or text?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the first thing that you do as an executive is you evaluate your own team. The second thing you do is you better know every other team almost as well as you know your own team, right? You don't know all the ins and outs and the personalities sometimes in the clubhouse, but you have to know their needs. And then what you have to do is find who you match up with. So, for instance, you know, a team that you know, the Colorado Rockies aren't going to be in the mix for Donaldson because Nolan Arenado is an animal, right? He's one of the best third basemen in the game, maybe the best. So they're not a fit. So what you do is try to identify those teams that might have a need at third base. The challenge will be, will National League teams play on Donaldson? Because if his cap's not right, or his leg's not right, or his shoulder's not right, and he can't play third base, they don't have the option to DH him. So, you know, would there be a National League team to be able to get a mix on it? And then what you do is just make some phone calls, check in. Now, it's always better to receive a call on a player where somebody is expressing the interest in your guy than when you're shopping the player. But I don't know that you know, this time of year it matters all that much. And you can actually make phone calls, say, hey, I'm just checking in. What are you guys looking to do? When you know that team needs a third baseman, and you don't have to say, hey, I've got Donaldson available. You can let them, you know, sort of organically get to that end of conversation. But absolutely, you're identifying the needs of other teams, how you match up And those tend to be the teams you focus on in conversations. And those are the teams you send your scouts to and start checking out their farm system for what players you might want to bring back in the trade for your Major League impact players.
Steve, we have the dumpster series going on at the Dome starting this evening, Baltimore visiting Toronto. If you could pick, if you could get back in the game and pick one of these two dumpster rosters, which one are you taking?
Well, that is, seriously, that is an amazing question.
Thank you, Steve.
That is an amazing question.
And you know what? You can't consider like what could happen going forward. Players moving, whatever. Just right here, right now. Which one do you want?
So who wrote that down and gave it to you? Because that's an amazing question.
It was just in my head,
filtered to him from all the way up
so
the top.
Do I get the farm system too?
You get the whole kit and caboodle, buddy.
All right, I'm taking the Blue Jays in a heartbeat. Not even close.
Really?
Not even close. Oh yeah. If I'm the Orioles, I tear it all apart. You think the Blue Jays have problems? Take a look at Chris Davis. He's getting paid over $100 million left on his deal through 2023. And he is miserable right now. He's got Trumbull under control for next year. Now they got Machado as a free agent, Adam Jones as a free agent. I think the ownership difference is significant. Their farm system has nothing. And I'll take the young pitching right now. I'll still take Stroman and Sanchez over Bundy and Gossman for the Orioles. Although Bundy's throwing well a little bit better lately. But, I'll absolutely take the Blue Jays with Vlad Guerrero and Bo Bichette and some of the talent they have coming over what the Orioles have and, you know, some of the players at the major league level, too.
It is pretty sad, though. They start 12-5, and we're having this kind of a conversation. Like, it's a legitimate conversation with... And a lot of it, again, is out of their control. Osuna, Stroman, Donaldson on the DL. But they started 12-5. They're 14-30 in the last 44 games. I mean, that's Baltimore. That's White Sox. That's Kansas City. Like, that's they're in that ballpark, aren't they, Steve? Like, the Jays,
yeah.
When you look at the way they're playing,
you know,
they're that bad.
The Mets, same thing. The Mets started off 11-1, and now they're like 6 or 7 games under 500. They're falling apart as well.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of story. But yes, right now it's about as bad as it can get. We knew the starting pitching wasn't going all that well. Listen, Caviglio threw really well yesterday, but you know, you look at the starting pitching, it hasn't been what we had hoped. Then you lose Stroman to the DL. Donaldson had to stay healthy because they don't have that much margin for error offensively. And they had some guys hot early. Pilar was really hot early, but he's cooled off a little bit. I mean, he's never really hit for an extended period of time at that level, and he fell off a bit. And so, you know, they just don't have a lot of offensive options, not a lot of offensive threats. You know, I love Jervis Talarte. I mean, I love watching him play. He can play on my team any day of the week. Look, and it doesn't matter. The score doesn't matter. The record, he plays the same way all the time. And so he's a keeper, right? He's part of the solution. And that's really what they're going to do right now is figure out who's part of the problem, who's part of the solution as they start to move forward. And so if you're going to lose with purpose and learning about your players so that you know that who the winners are and who the losers are.
What do you think the Manny Machado situation, where does he go? Where does he end up?
You know, I think that in the trade deadline, I would think that the Cardinals are going to be in on him, and I think the Cubs are going to be in on him. You can make an argument that that the Brewers could be in on him as well, that the National League Central could be won by which of those three teams makes the Manny Machado deal. You know, he could play some short or third in St. Louis. He could play short because Addison Russell could be the guy going back in the deal to the Orioles. So he could play short for Chicago. And then if he doesn't re-sign there, then they could certainly play Javi Baez at shortstop for next year. And Milwaukee, Arcia struggled there, so he'd fit there. So I think we're looking at the National League Central battling it out. And the winner, it's a double victory, right? You get him and you keep him away from your closest competition.
Man, it's tough already talking trades, but that's the reality of Toronto and Baltimore.
How about the distance, Brian, that Josh Donaldson has slid? Everyone talks about, oh, Bryce Harper's coming up, Manny Machado, and then right after that is Josh Donaldson. I think it's a little bit farther down the road now, isn't
it? Yeah, it has.
A lot farther.
Based on his season alone, let alone the age and injury problems. And now you got Vladdy Guerrero Jr., who's been hit with the bug. He was placed on the 7-day DL down in Double A, and you got to think, They're not freaking out or panicking, but they are going to take so much extra time with him, don't you, Steve? I mean, is that kind of injury and that goes all the way to Shapiro? Like, they decide what's happening with Vladdy Guerrero Jr.?
No question. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about that. Your blue-chip prospects, you know anything about their health, the general manager is immediately involved in that entire process. The president's involved in that process. You know, you're not going to risk anything. And look, every indication was it wasn't all that serious. The minor league sends a 7-day DL to give them some time for him to kind of pull back a little bit. And what will be interesting to see is how do you come back out of the gate after that? It's another part of the learning curve. Experiencing time away, and how do you hold on to the thought process, the physical part of your swing when you get back in there? So, there's something to be learned from this, from Vlad Guerrero Jr., that in the long run may actually prove dividends once he gets to the big leagues.
Great stuff, as always, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, man.
Oh, you got it. Thanks, guys.
There's Steve Phillips joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com. That was a good hit with Steve. We're talking burner accounts and Colangelo and divorces.
He's outstanding.
The Jays and where they're at. And I wanted to ask him about John Gibbons. Like, is there anything Gibbons can do?
They were asking him today, like, first time around, he saw the writing on the wall. And does it smell kind of the same? And he was kind of...
He knows what's up. I think he knows they're not going to fire him during the year. But, I mean, maybe they decide to keep him around if it's a full-blown rebuild, blow-up.
It can become painful if Gibby's getting wheeled out every game, blah, 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 what's going on.
Well, last weekend he said, not going out. Like, last Saturday, he's like, I don't have anything else to say to you people. Stop asking me about this awful baseball team.
Yeah.
We find a new way to lose every single night. I mean, last night they went 13 scoreless innings and had four hits. Four hits in 13.
Yeah.
Like, even the Yankees were like, all right, I guess we'll just take it.
And when they start hitting, the pitching is just going to go to worse crap.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
It's just one of those years.
Remember
the Maple Leafs, was it 3 years ago, where everything on the ice and off the ice was just an absolute tire fire?
It's the exact same thing.
It reminds me of the same thing.
Yeah.
Because, in a different level, because... You know, Kadri was suspended by the team a couple games, and you had the Jonathan Bernier thing going on.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Even
that
though
was that year.
Was that year?
Did he go Nelson Mandela that season?
I believe it was.
Wow. I don't even know if that would make the movie. There were so many crazy moments that year.
I remember talking to somebody from the Leafs organization where they itemized everything. There was about 25... We'll call them events that year.
Like tire fire moments.
But some of them, like 10 of them were on ice and 15 were off ice, where it was, the salute gate, the Jonathan Burnt, like Kadri. There was just so many things.
Like, think about it. Stroman after arbitration and spring training. All that happened there. Donaldson and his contract stuff. Donaldson on the DL back and forth. Obviously, Roberto Osuna and what's happened with him. Sanchez and the expectations and how they've blown up.
It's just one of those years where it's everything they look at. It's
everything's gone against them. Everything. And they weren't that good anyway. I mean, let's be honest. They weren't that good of a team anyway.
Right.
But there have been so many distractions and so many things that have happened that have just... They had a rainout when they have a dome. They have a dome and they missed a game because...
There was a hole in the roof.
It's crazy.
And two heroes went up there strapped in to fix it.
Those guys were heroes.
Grit.
My heroes.
Grinders.
For sure.
All right. Game five of the Cup Final. We'll get into that. Maybe replay
Ice Cube?
A certain voicemail. No, not Ice Cube. Don't put any... Why would you even say that?
I think it's worthy of playing right after this break.
You can find the podcast online at tsn1050.ca or subscribe and check us out on iTunes.
I wasn't sure where you were going. I was trying to...
I'm talking about the Philip Pritchard voicemail.
Yes, we should get into the Philip
Pritchard. If you missed this, we have exclusive audio. We'll play it next. This is my favorite Will Smith song. Summertime, it's great.
I do like that song.
Such a great song. Will Smith, DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yes.
DJ Hazy B. You can start a beef with Andy Petrillo. Andy P.
Andy P. I like hers.
Yeah. Andy P. NDP.
Yeah.
Andy P. Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. I actually saw Andy in here earlier with Gareth Wheeler. They were recording the World Cup podcast.
Oh, yeah.
There's a World Cup.
Are you positive there's none of those games, like, later in the afternoon?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, dude, I'm positive. It's in Russia.
We've seen the schedule.
You understand how time zones
the
work,
schedule,
right?
The schedule gets emailed to us, too. The on.
But if
on
there's
schedule.
A good game, we replay it for the fans driving home.
Why would we do that?
What game?
Why do you think?
Just for so your you can have a personal yes. state of mind. Dude, we'll talk about the World Cup. I need
no,
you.
No, we're not. I am not
oh,
talking.
I need you totally up to date.
If you
with
ask
what's
me one
on.
Question, that gives me permission to leave the studio. That's the deal. I haven't. I love sports. I think I'm knowledgeable enough to talk about other sports. I am not talking one thing about soccer.
You don't get caught up in that at all?
The Are World you Cup? High?
Do you know how awesome it is, the World Cup, and how great the city is? Like, Toronto's
really?
An incredible
I'm from Canada,
spot.
And I have some Irish background. My name's Flanagan O'Neill. Both are not in it.
I understand that.
And my buddies from Italy, their team's not in it yeah. either. How stupid is that?
But that doesn't mean that the tournament doesn't still go on.
Yeah, but if,
there,
if,
the,
if Italy was in, I would go to Little Italy and watch.
Go
and
down
say,
to Little Portugal. Go down to...
I don't even know where that is.
Little Iceland.
Where is Little Portugal? Is there a Little,
Portugal, a little
Portugal in Toronto?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no Little Iceland here.
There's a Little Iceland.
It's just very small.
You're an idiot.
It's like a house.
I hope there's a Little Iceland.
It's just a lagoon in the middle of the city.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah.
Where are you from? Find... Little Iceland.
Little Iceland.
See, oh, yeah?
My grandfather, so I guess technically I have some Icelandic in me. My grandfather was a little bit of Icelandic.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have any interest in doing one of those DNA tests? Like, they're all the rage right now.
Absolutely, I would.
For
I would,
what?
No, just to check to
just
see
to
what
find
we
out
are.
What you're all about.
What, that
like family,
family tree,
tree
thing? Yeah. You have to pick, I tried it. It costs money.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's all right. Like we,
it's not a
you're,
racket.
You're
you
ready
get
to throw around $20 left and right on your bets. We can.
The amount of money you just... basically light up in flames and you're concerned about spending $29.99 on a DNA website.
Is that how much it is probably?
I have no idea how
50
much
bucks.
I think it's $55.
I would do it for,
I just don't know if I care enough. Like that's the truth. I don't know. Like I can't picture somebody be unless I'm like, you know, Chinese or something.
Yeah,
like something that I totally didn't see
didn't
coming.
Expect, yeah.
But if someone's like, yeah, you're Irish, Scottish, you know,
I think
there's
I'm
some
like
whatever, I'd be like, yeah, that's what I figured anyway. I don't know.
McLennan is Scottish. My mom's maiden name is Melnik, which is completely Ukrainian.
Eugene?
Not same spelling, but
your
not
dad's
maybe?
Name was Eugene?
No, no. It's not listening.
What
no.
a meatball move that was.
No, my
your dad's,
dad's
name.
Name
was Eugene.
My dad's name was Stuart, but
oh. play the
Stuart
tape.
McLennan.
Get that ready for me.
Did I say Rafalski?
Did I say Eugene?
No,
no, I'm saying his mom's name was Melnik. Maybe he's related to Eugene
name
Melnik.
Was Melnik, yeah, which is Ukrainian.
Maybe
out west.
Yeah, I guess so.
But there's, yeah, there. I would love to see what type of strains I have.
See, I'm saying I don't think I'd really care.
My grandmother was Hungarian.
Okay, well, you already know this stuff, so what does it matter?
Because I'd like
what do
to.
You need, what more do you need
I
to find out?
I think you have to wait it all out. I have no idea.
Hmm.
It would. I think it would be great.
All right.
I'm going to do it.
Okay. Maybe we all do it one day.
Got me thinking about it now.
Although, not that we would be at risk of this, but I guess that's how they caught that Golden State killer, by all
oh,
accounts,
yeah.
is they got DNA like from one of his kids did this or something, and then it popped up on the database.
Right.
And then they're like, wait a minute. And yeah. then they started surveilling this guy, and they
realized he
they
was...
put two and two together, and all of a sudden they caught him, like wow. 30 years later. So hopefully you don't have any shady characters in your family tree that you're basically going to...
I think there is. Who knows? I'm not super close with my family.
Maybe there will be.
Never
All right,
know.
Do you want to hear Eugene?
Yes. My mom's maiden name is Melnik, which is completely Ukrainian.
Eugene?
Not same spelling, but...
Your dad's name was Eugene?
No, no. He's not listening.
Your dad's name is Eugene. At your dad's name is Eugene.
Yeah.
Twitter burner account. Cup final game 5 tonight. You know, I think we actually did a pretty good job with
begging,
Ray in the previous hour.
Begging well, for it to be over.
But about the yips, right? Like, if you're a golfer,
yeah.
you know, this. I broke an 80 once. Whether or not you believe it or not, it's true. And I remember hanging over like a 15-foot putt on 18. I had to hit it to break 80, and I nailed that putt.
That was for 79?
That was for 79. I've done it once in my life.
Sweating up a storm.
Oh,
or?
The swass I would have had. And
I
just,
shot 66 one time in my life, and on the... like 15th hole, I literally got nervous And it, because I was out of my comfort zone.
Right.
And it was like, I don't know what, why, how, I'd never shot like this before. Why do I feel so, I was just dialed in the
because
whole.
Because you know what's at stake. You know, yeah. You've got a new story. You've accomplished something you've
the
never done
before. The unknown creates pressure.
And that's what Washington's dealing with tonight.
Yeah.
You know, like they're sitting on the 18th hole. Maybe because they have three games to do it, they're on 16. They're on 16, and they know as long as they don't put up any double bogeys down the stretch, there's a pretty good chance they're going to get this done.
Right.
But they come out and spray one off the tee in the first period, and they go down 2 or 3 nothing.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you start thinking, wait a minute, are we going to choke this away?
It could be just that Holtby has an off night. That's it. Like, it could be, they could be dominating, and the goalie just can't stop anything. Like, both of those goaltenders in game one, I didn't think Fleury was that good. It's just that Vegas got 6 goals that night.
Mm-hmm.
Fleury gave up 4. And we talked about it in here the next day. When you score 4 on Marc-Andre Fleury at that point when he was the best player on the planet, he was the hands-down Conn Smythe winner.
Locke. People, you were making arguments. Others were making arguments. Even if he loses the cup, he could win the Conn
Smythe. I felt like that. I felt like that coming into the series. But Ovi and Kuznetsov have taken over.
Let's say, hypothetically,
okay,
Vegas storms back and wins this series. They win 5-4, 5-4, 7-6.
It's Fleury.
You still think
still
Fleury?
Still Fleury for me, because nobody, who else on that team is even close to getting it? And Fleury's the reason why they're in the finals.
But you've noticed with the Caps, all of a sudden Kuznetsov appears to be in the driver's seat.
Kuznetsov has 31 points, of
course.
But
Ovechkin was the man. Like Ovechkin's put up big, big numbers. Kuznetsov missed two periods of a big game.
I would say if Kuznetsov gets 3 points tonight and they win the cup, Ovechkin will still win the Conn Smythe. I'm telling you, the same thing happened with Crosby in San Jose. There was Chris Letang, there was Matt Murray, they just said, Crosby, there you go.
I'm calling it the Lifetime Achievement Award.
It's exactly what he's going to get.
But I'm also, it's not like Ovi has 3 points in the playoffs.
No, he's been brilliant.
So it'll
be the Lifetime Achievement Ovi Award for being a great goal scorer, et cetera, et cetera.
I agree. I got some inside information here from Andy Petrillo. Her stage name will be Andy VA. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, what does that mean?
She'll have to elaborate.
Okay. Whatever, Andy. You got to be funny if you're going to have
No. Not Andy VA. Andiva.
That's still cheap.
I like
That's
that.
That's really good.
That'll work.
What's yours? Hazy B?
Hazy B.
I like Andiva better.
Yeah, Hazy B's pretty lame, but it's a shout out to Dwayne Casey.
You could be like, I used to do Leafs Lunch, but now it's yours.
You have no street cred after that. Your dad's name, Eugene.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow, though, I'm going to put the lyrics together. Hunt's already started this.
Yeah.
We are going to write and produce a new version, a remix of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the theme song, Brian Colangelo remix, right?
Now, because it'd be Mail It In Friday. That we'll just live on that all show.
All afternoon we're going to do that. We'll come back. We'll let you hear exclusive audio of Philip Pritchard, the keeper of the Cup's voicemail. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline and some Terrell Owens Hall of Fame news. I don't even know how to wrap my head around this.
It's just
ridiculous. We'll tell you about that next. Father's Day is coming up fast. Don't settle for another pack of golf balls. Win yourself the gift you really want, a brand new Weber barbecue from Dixon's Barbecue Center. Go to tsn1050.ca and enter for your chance to win. We will name a winner right here on Overdrive Monday, June 11th. The cup is supposed to be in the building tonight. We have exclusive audio of the voicemail of Philip Pritchard, the keeper of the cup. You guys want to hear this?
Yep.
Hey, what's up? Leave a message for the guy with the cup. It's Jerry. First things first, Pritchard. Your voicemail message is a goddamn embarrassment. Secondly, I heard you were an absolute puddle at the MGM last night, and you were talking a big game about going to Wet Republic Day Party today. I know exactly what that means. VIP table on the NHL card. Black Speedo white gloves and a f***ing Stanley Cup floating in the pool. I swear to all that is high and mighty, Philip, if you stiff me again at center ice without the cup, I will personally place you in a cross-faced chicken wing
and then bury you with a stone cold stunner. Don't f*** this up. Call me back. It's Jerry.
So, a bit nervous down there in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, that Wet Republic, I did that a few weeks ago, man. It can throw you off.
For sure.
Big time. So anyway, tomorrow we're going to try to have everything produced for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air remix, the Brian Colangelo story. I am Hazy B. I will be rapping it myself, trying to pick a bit of a beef. I want a diss track with...
Andiva.
Jason tweeting, no, this is great. He said, Hazy B, a.k.a. P. Griffey.
Oh,
if you're kicking it old school.
I like P. Griffey.
P. Griffey. I like
you
that
ever get
too.
Into a rap war with Andy, you know she's going to talk about you being a beef master.
Mm-hmm. P.
That's
Griffey.
True.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on the Washington Capitals tonight. They're paying 210. Like Vegas is favorite in Vegas.
Really?
I'm on Washington. I feel like this could get out of hand. 4-0 or something like that tonight. And I'm going to go with the under. Throw down 20, you can score 72. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Quickly, Terrell Owens has declined his invite to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
It's embarrassing.
Not going to Canton.
What did he cite? Like,
well, I know, I just based on our interview with him last week, I think it was, where he's like, I got some things coming up. I guarantee you he's going to sell some Hall of Fame party. And he's going to try to make it like a reality show or something's going on here.
Yeah. Like
that's completely embarrassing, though. The Hall of Fame. Wow.
Yeah. Not showing up to the Hall of Fame. Or this is a part of him, like in a week he'll decide to go or he'll show up unannounced or something. He's got
something
up his sleeve here. For sure.
Well, I mean... I was surprised. Like, I know he was a great player, but I didn't think he was a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. You look at his stats, they're off the charts. He's definitely a Hall of Famer.
It's just the personality that isn't a Hall of Fame.
No, it's not. And now he's not going to show up for the induction. So they might look back on it and be like, why did we even put this guy in? Anyway.
Maybe.
All right, boys. Tomorrow's a big day. It's a Friday. We're going to have the Fresh Prince remix.
We're going to have the Fresh Prince remix with Hazy B. We're going to recap the Golden Knights Caps game. And it's all going to start at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.